In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text today is our gospel reading from Luke, the 24th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem is not a long road. It is about 7 miles, or about a 140-minute walk. But for these two disciples, it seems like forever. Cleopas and friend are slowly leaving Zion, holy Jerusalem, and they are on their way home. Their steps are dusted with despair. Their hearts drag along the way. Their heads are hung low, rising only to speak for each other, if only for a moment. Their words bounce back and forth about the weekend's events, about what they had just witnessed. The one whom they had hoped would redeem Israel was rejected, condemned, crucified, dead, and buried. With Jesus, with his death, their hope, well, it had died. With Jesus' burial, their hearts began to sink deeply into their chest. With Jesus' departure, there was no reason to stay in Jerusalem. With no Jesus, there's no meaning to the weekend's events, no meaning to anything that is before or after that day. All meaning has been crucified, dead, and buried. And so these two, Cleopas and the other disciple, drudge along the road to Emmaus with heavy hearts and a weariness that cannot be refreshed no matter what they try to do. This road is a road that so many people drudge on in these dark and latter days. It is a road full of dreariness, of sorrow, of lamenting, of weeping, of mourning, a road with no joy, with no hope, with hope actually that is dashed against the rocks to pieces, a road where their understanding is confusion, and those wanting to be comforted are actually often even more afflicted than when they first set out. Maybe this is the road you are on today. This road, the Emmaus Road, is a road that leads away from Jerusalem, and it is traipsed by all who think Jesus is still dead, or who live as if he is. While they are walking this road, Cleopas and the other disciples, they are met by Jesus. Notice that they do not come to Jesus. Jesus comes to them. They do not find Jesus. Jesus finds them, and he finds them wandering like sheep without a shepherd. Yes, Cleopas and the other disciple know where they are going in a sense, but they walk as though they are lost. They walk in a world of sin and suffering and sorrow and death. They walk without light, without hope, without peace, without understanding, as though they have no meaning or purpose whatsoever. Into this dark road, Jesus comes. He appears. And he is seen. But seeing doesn't give faith. Seeing doesn't give understanding. It doesn't give peace. It doesn't give rest. Seeing without knowing is the way of the old Adam, the old sinful nature. And the old Adam in us, it finds struggle and strife everywhere it turns. It grasps as if in the dark at straws, seeming to try to find some sort of meaning to what it sees, some sort of meaning to what it observes, some sort of meaning and measure and evaluation and judgment about all the things that are going on in its life in the midst of sorrow and sin and suffering. Now, I ask you, Is that not the world that we live in today, in 2020? A world that has embraced the concept that there is no meaning to words, no meaning to life, no meaning to what we say or what we do. Hence, you get the desperate mottos of the world, don't you? Carpe diem, Latin for seize the day. Grab hold of the moment because it's all that there is. Find what joy you possibly can in it. Or, if you prefer the modern, less educated version of it, YOLO. You only live once. We've said this before. Seeing, though, without knowing. Observing, without understanding. Cleopas and the other disciple recognize no meaning whatsoever in Jesus' death, no meaning in his burial, or even the tales of his resurrection. And so, they despair. We are often impacted by the meaninglessness of our culture, and we too despair. We look around with our own eyes and we see the natural disasters. We see the deadly viruses. We see the theft and greed and gossip and murder and slander and malice, deceit, envy, pride, arrogance, sensuality, sexual immorality, and idolatry. It is all around us. And worse yet, it is all in us. We look at our neighbors. And we are quick to judge and slow to forgive. We see them as inferior to us, as the world, uneducated and uninformed compared to us. We behold the brokenness of this life, and we fail to see any meaning, any remedy even for it all. We see sinful men, even ourselves. And we know we cannot find meaning in and of ourselves. That is, until Jesus happens upon us and gives us his holy word. For the Lord of heaven and earth gives meaning to our existence, to the happenings of this world, to the events in which we all suffer. Through his holy word, he brings meaning. He gives understanding. He opens our ears to hear that we may see them for what they truly are, and not just for individuals or individual Christians or even communities or cultures, but see things as they really are. True. For all people, for every race, every gender, every age, until the very end of the time. And so when Jesus happens upon Cleopas and the other disciple, everything changes. And their hearts begin burning within them. Happening upon these and any others walking on this road, Jesus does not give them a sight so that they may see with their eyes. No, instead he gives them a sight with their ears, a sight that they may hear the words of Christ clearly. And hearing these words, they may cling only to him in faith. So when Jesus speaks to Cleopas and the other disciples, he speaks and his word grants them faith, and it grants them a burning in their faith to know who Jesus is and what he has done and to recognize him. It is the same for you and I. Jesus speaks to us clearly, and we hear him through Holy Scripture, through the holy historical liturgy, through sermons, through hymns. He is constantly revealing himself to us in this veil of tears and this valley of sorrows, in these most precious and holy of ways. You, dear saints of the living God, to understand the world around you, to find meaning in the midst of sin and suffering and death, to grasp the God of your creation and behold purpose in what you say and do, you must first listen to him. You must first be right with the Lord. You must be reconciled to the Father. You must first believe. Faith first, then understanding. Faith does not come by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's why Jesus comes to meet people walking along this road. He comes to preach to you, to open the scriptures to you that you might see him as he is, as the Son of the living God who has come in this world to bear your sin and to be your Savior. He sets his holy cross before your eyes, saying, despite what your eyes may see, despite what you may feel in this world, as you go through the sufferings, as you see the news broadcast, as you experience the sin and the death in your own life, despite what you may see, still I say to you, I have not left you. I have not abandoned you. I have loved you unto death, even death on the cross. I have given my life for you. I have suffered for you. I have bled for you. Look and see. Here on the holy cross, your guilt is taken away and your sins are atoned for. Look and see. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look and see my wounds. See it as I, hidden here in bread and wine, in water and word, that you may receive me in holy joy and know that I abide with you unto the very end of the age. And I will raise you up in glory on the last day. Jesus, he is gentle, he is kind, he is merciful, he is loving. In Jesus, he reconciles you to God the Father. In Jesus, God makes things right for you and with him. And this began, dear saints of Holy Cross and Emmanuel, when he poured upon you the waters of holy baptism, saying to you, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There, where he placed his mark on your forehead and on your heart, and he called you his own, he called you by name. It happens. Here in church, when we gather together, Jesus comes to you, is present with you in his holy word read and preached to you, in his holy words of absolution spoken in your very ears, and especially there, at his holy altar, at his very table where he feeds you with his own body and blood. In fact, that is the whole point of the text. The whole point of our text is that we are actually led to that table. Everything has been leading us to this table where Jesus is both host and meal. It is for this reason that he has been leading us to this moment, that he has risen from the dead so that he may be here with you, that he may feed you with himself, the very bread of life. For man does not live by bread alone, but he does live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of our Lord. And that word is what became flesh for you. Jesus, the Son of God, who suffered the pains of death upon the cross, who died in your place only to rise again on the third day in order to bring light and immortality to light, to give you understanding, you who are confounded, to comfort you who are afflicted, and to draw you to himself. Jesus happens upon us on this road to Emmaus, the road we walk, so that through his death and resurrection, we might be brought to this table for this moment, to recognize this Jesus, our Savior, in the breaking of the bread. And in recognizing him, we might receive his very body and blood. And receiving his very body and blood, that we might dwell with him and be strengthened in the faith. And being strengthened in the faith, we may depart in his peace, knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that Jesus is with us no matter where we go, no matter where and what circumstance we find ourselves in sorrow or our joy, even in the midst of a virus. Jesus is with us always, and no matter what, we have eternal life in his name. Our God is not against us. He is for us. He gave his life on the cross. How will he not give us forgiveness? How will he not be with us to the end of the age? How will he not grant us eternal life? It is secure in his death and resurrection. And thus, we are confident that our Lord Jesus abides with us, for us, and in us. He gives meaning to our daily routines, having been washed, having been sanctified and justified by his name, by the water and the word. We Christians no longer wander lost in this world aimlessly, looking for some purpose. But rather, we have been called by his holy name placed on our forehead and on our heart. We have been given a vocation in which we remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord, knowing that no matter what, our labor is never in vain. Therefore, what we say and what we do in faith is done according to the word of the Lord, and it is true, and it is good, and it is right, and it is salutary, and it is not for us, but it is for our neighbor. Our purpose, our meaning for life flows from Christ to us through word and sacrament, and then from us out there into the world as we love our neighbor as God has loved us in Christ until that great and glorious day when by the sound of the trumpet he returns in glory to raise us to everlasting life. Beloved in the Lord, the road to Emmaus, it was not long. It was a road that these men actually quickly found themselves traveling back on to get to Jerusalem. Such a road we find ourselves on. Sometimes many are walking away from Jerusalem, dejected and despairing of life itself, suffering without the word of the resurrected Christ. But you who believe in Christ Jesus are headed back to the holy city with joy in your hearts and the divine message upon your lips. We are marching to Zion, marching to the city of our God, trampling over devils and demons and even death itself, confessing the name of Christ on our path to everywhere we go and to everyone we meet, reaching down into people's lives to lift them up with the holy word of the living God, Jesus Christ, who was dead and is alive again for them, that their wounds may be bound, that they may be strengthened, that they may be saved, that they may have eternal life with God and with us, calling all nations around us to turn back from their sin, not to perish, but to turn and live. For everyone who believes in Jesus, everyone who confesses his name has eternal life, and God will raise them up on the last day. For our joy, it cannot be contained. And our message will not be silenced, and our mission will not cease until the day when we reach our journey's end, not until that day when our Savior calls us home and we finally enter to that great assembly of the saints with a palm branch in our hand crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." When we gather together with all the company of heaven, including angels and archangels, singing, "This is the feast of victory for our God." Our joy will not be complete until that day, but our joy cannot end. The joy that dwells in us, who is Jesus Christ, who becomes a spring of water and joy welling up to eternal life. For this day, despite what you face, these words of victory that are upon your lips and in your hearts scatter the darkness and gloom. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen.